Come, let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning. And we pray, Almighty and most merciful Father, we have so erred in our lives. We so stray from your ways. Like lost sheep, Father, we stray from the path. Dear Lord Jesus, we very often follow our own ways, our own desires. We follow our own hearts. And very often, we offend you and your holy laws, Father. Dear Lord Jesus, in this day of so much uncertainty, we so very often have fear in our hearts. We have doubts in our hearts. There is uncertainty. And dear Lord Jesus, you bring us that hope. And very often, we ignore that hope because of this fear, because of these doubts. So dear Lord Jesus, we pray and we come before you and we confess these our sins. We confess our sins, Father, because we so often sin against you, be it by word, by thought, by deed. So dear Lord Jesus, we ask that, and we humbly come before you and we ask that you will forgive us our sins. We pray and ask for your grace, for your pardon. For we are such hell-deserving sinners. Very often, not much good in us. So, most merciful Father, we come before you and we pray for your grace and we pray for your mercy. Father, that we may lead and live a righteous life. A life that is pleasing to you. And dear Lord Jesus, we pray and we ask that as we prepare for this sermon, as we prepare to hear your word, that you will open our hearts and our minds, that you will soften our hearts and our minds, that we will hear your word. But Father, that not only hear your word, but that we will act to your word, that we will be obedient to your word. So I pray and ask that you'll be with each and every one of us as your word is spoken this morning. Not our word, but your word. That thy will be done. And we pray for your grace and your mercy. And we pray this in your honor and in your glory. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning, I have two, but I've in actual fact just given through one that will be shown on the board or the projector overhead. The other one, I am not going to, I've not asked them to actually show it. I will read it, and I will be referring to it during my sermon this morning. But the scripture reading comes from the book of Romans, and it's Romans 6, verses 15 to 23. Romans 6, verses 15 to 23. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey. Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms, because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, So now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from these things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. We thank God for this word, and we ask that He will bless these words to our hearts and to our understanding. I just briefly want to turn, and as I said, it's part of the sermon, and I'm going to just turn to the next reading, which I just have. And that is from the book of Deuteronomy. And the reason I've chosen this as well is because it ties up with my sermon and it ties up with the scripture reading for this morning. And I just want to read it in preparation for the sermon. Deuteronomy, and I'll be reading there from Deuteronomy 30, from verses 11 to 20. And the heading of this passage in particular is the offer of life or death. Now, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No, the word is very near. It is in your mouth and in your heart so you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But in your heart, if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are not drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing, the Jordan, to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth, as I witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to His voice, and hold fast to Him. For the Lord is your life, and He will give you many years in the land He swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. My sermon this morning, as you can see on the pamphlet, in fact reads, Life is a Journey. And when I was considering what the sermon title should be, in fact, I initially had it as My Race for God. My Race for God. And then I thought, let me talk about rather the journey. The journey for God. Because you see, friends, the reason I had, and I think when I talk about the journey for God, read into that as well, the race, our race that we are running. Because when we look at life today, it is in fact only one big rat race. We are racing and running all over the world. We are busy with everything, incredibly busy, incredibly active, and we are running this race in this world. In fact, it's very often, I suppose, like a dog chasing a car. What does he do when he catches that car? What's he going to do with that car? And is it not so very often in our lives as well? We chase after something, whatever it may be. And when we get it, a month, 2 months later, it's old news. It's not funny anymore. It's not something new anymore. So our daily lives are taken up by rushing all over the place, this race, this rat race that we live in. And after achieving it, so what? But my friends, this worldly race that we are in is temporary. I've said it before from this pulpit. We may think that I'm 60, 70, 80, 90 years old. That's old. It's actually temporary. Very, very temporary. And so is this world, very temporary. If we go and look at the book of Ecclesiastes, and I'm not going to turn there, but if we look at the book of Ecclesiastes, King Solomon says there, it is all senseless, it is all useless, it's all meaningless. In one of my sermons I did here many, many months ago, I spoke about all the good things in life that he had. We all know about King Solomon, everything that he had. And yet despite all of that, he found that life is meaningless. Life is meaningless. So my friends, that's why this morning I termed the sermon, yes, life is a journey, but let's also see it as life is a race. Our life should be a race for God. And this race should become a journey. It is not a 100-meter sprint. We are not Usain Bolts here that sprint for 100 meters. Life is a journey. And we must run this marathon for God. Everything in this world today is unfortunately very instant. I want results immediately. There's nothing like patience. I want this results immediately. Instant coffee. I can't wait and brew my coffee. I must have it immediately. Just chuck some coffee in the pot. So we're very geared. Everything in life today is so geared for instant. Everything must be instant. And what I've done is I've taken this race, this journey, and I want to cover it in 5 points. And I hope we'll remember all those 5 points, but I want to cover them. I'm going to go through them not in too much depth. But before I do that, I'd like to just again turn to the scripture readings. And there are a couple of points that I just want to point out. Excuse me. I think in the first place, from the book of Deuteronomy, the Old Testament reading, God sets before us a choice in life. And that's my starting point. God sets before us the choice between life and death. And that is each one of us sitting here this morning, is each one of us has that choice. I can choose death, or I can choose life. In Deuteronomy, we read that life leads to prosperity, to goodness, not necessarily to money, the prosperity that we understand there, but it leads to goodness, to holiness. Death, we read, leads to destruction. In Romans, in our scripture reading for this morning, some pertinent points, and we see there again, Paul speaks of two options. Paul says, we have two options. We have obedience to sin or obedience to righteousness. In verse 16, we see and we read there, sin results in death. We read about that in Deuteronomy. We have a choice between life and we have a choice between death. And in verse 16 of Romans, sin results in death, which is eternal separation from God. In verse 17, we read there, Paul says, Paul gives thanks to God. And we read in verse 17, there is no neutral ground. I've said it before as well. Like the light switches that we're battling with today, I cannot switch God on and off like a light switch. I cannot say to him, you know, this week is not your week, God. I cannot have this neutral ground. I cannot stand with my left foot in sin and my right leg or right foot in obedience. There is no neutrality about this. In verse 19, from verse 19 onwards, we read there, in the past, we were slaves to uncleanness, to lawlessness, but in the present, and Jesus Christ came and died, he suffered, and he died on the cross for us, so that we may be saved. But in the present, we must be slaves to righteousness, to holy living. And this holy living, this righteousness, results in sanctification. My friends, sin brings no advantage. But the advantage of obedience living is righteousness, is sanctification. And as we read in verse 23, the wages of sin is death and eternal separation from God. So with that in mind, I'd like to go to the 5 points that I've mentioned that I would like to go through in this race for God, in this journey of life. There are 5 points that I'd like to cover. And the first point that I'd like to look at is the goal. When we race, when we take on a journey, we have a goal. We must have a goal. I think I may, in one of my previous sermons here as well, I may have done a sermon in terms of my purpose in life. What is my purpose in life? And I must have a goal in life. So the first point I'd like to cover is striving for the gift or the goal that God promises us. Now, in 1 Corinthians, if I could briefly, it's one verse that I just want to read there. In 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24. 1 Corinthians 9, 24. That's on page 202 of the New Testament. It actually reads as follows. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. And this is the first point that I'd like to make. How do we run our race? How do we walk our journey for God? Do our lives reflect that relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father? Do the way that we interact with other people, the way that I conduct myself on a daily basis, does that show that I am walking with God, that I'm walking this journey with God? In James 4, in fact, we read, and if I also just could very quickly turn to that, but in James 4, we read there, let me just get to it, James 4, we read on page 273, James 4, verses 1 to 4, submit yourselves to God. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and you fight, yet you do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. In verse 4, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. And that is the question I'm asking. In this goal that I'm striving for, that I'm pushing for, in this gift that I want from God, how do I walk this walk with my Heavenly Father? Do I submit myself to God, as we've just read in James? Do the way that I live my life show that I'm a child of God? Do we live our lives and do our lives show that we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father? That relationship is of such a nature that I will receive the gift that God promises me. And my friends, what is that gift? What is that goal? And this is the point of point number one. What is that goal? The goal or the gift is eternal life with my Heavenly Father. As I said just now, my life on earth is short, 80, 90, 100 years. But it's eternal life that I am seeking. An eternal life with my Heavenly Father. And that is what my goal should be. The second point that I'd like to cover of the five, the second point is in fact preparing for the race. Preparing for that journey. And the question that comes up here is, how do I prepare for this journey that I walk with God? What is my preparation? Am I serious about this journey? Am I truly serious about this journey with God? Or do I simply just take it lightly? As I said, God, today is not your day. I'll switch you off. I'll spend maybe 5 minutes longer with you tomorrow. Because you in any case are there, God. You're not going anywhere. You are there. So I can turn to you whenever I need you. God, you must accept what you get from me on my terms. Is this how we prepare for our walk with God? God, I'll decide how much of my time I'll give to you. I just want to check my priority list, God, and see where do you feature in my priority list. I have, unfortunately, some other activities today to do, so I don't really have time for you. I always compare this when I look at this point, and I say to myself, if I prepare to go on holiday, how thoroughly do I not prepare my trip? If I'm going overseas, and I may be going to a couple of cities or whatever, how do I prepare for that trip? Meticulously. I prepare meticulously. I leave no stone unturned in my trip. So my question is, how do I prepare for my trip and my journey with God? Do I prepare in the same way? Do I take it as serious as I take my trip that I'm going on holiday? All bases must be covered when I go on leave. My friends, how are we preparing for the coming of Jesus Christ? Are we prepared for when He comes? Do we walk in His way? Do we walk according to His will and His words? Are we submitting ourselves to Him? Do we know our God? Do we have a relationship with our Father? And do we love God? And the last question under this point, will we be ready when Jesus Christ comes? Point number three of my sermon, or of these 5 points, deals with hindrances. What are the hindrances in our race for God or our journey for God? What stops us in this journey? What prevents us from continuing in this journey? And I'd like to read you from Galatians 5, verses 7, on page 225 of the NIV Bible. Galatians 5, verses 7. It reads as follows: "You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth?" So we're running this race, we're walking this journey, but there are hindrances that come our way. So the question I ask myself is, who keeps on cutting in front of me? Who keeps me from obeying my Lord, my God? Is it family, friends, my boss? Does the world set my agenda? Does the world tell me the road that I should follow, and keeps cutting in on me and hinders me in my journey with God? And then more importantly, probably, what keeps me? What keeps me from obeying the Word of God? Is it sin? Me, myself, I, my desires, my ambitions, my needs in life? Are these the factors that keep on cutting in on me, keep on hindering that I obey the Word of God, that keep on hindering me to follow the Word of God? Are these the items in my life, these worldly items, that are continuously driving me off this path that I should be following with my Heavenly Father? And I think these are, again, in our preparation for this walk with God, for this journey that we want to follow, that we have to follow, we must look at these hindrances. What are these hindrances? Are there more important things in my life than Jesus Christ? Point number four, I'd like to title as pressing on towards the goal. Pressing on towards the goal. And in Philippians 3, verse 14, in Philippians 3, verse 14, we read there, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. My friends, that's the goal. That's the objective. Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, is my goal, must be my goal. So I press on towards the goal to win the prize that Jesus, that God has promised me. The prize and the goal of eternal life. We read a bit further there in verse 17. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For I, as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. Their mind is on earthly things. It's these worldly things that are driving me. But in verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is this glorious promise that we have and that we get from God. So again, what is my goal? What is my purpose in life? And then ultimately, who is my goal? And my goal must be God. My goal must be our Heavenly Father. I had an interesting, well, not interesting, but it was, well, on Monday this week, just before, we normally get together at 8 o'clock as a, in a meeting, and just before 8, one of my colleagues walked in and sort of closed the door and sort of said to me that she has reached a stage in life, and she's in her mid-40s, so she's got a long way to go, but she said to me she's reached a stage in life where she's not so sure if she's on the right path. And I said to her, what's the problem? And she said, no, she had just come back the weekend from Pretoria, and her sister-in-law had been diagnosed with cancer and in fact is pretty much in the last stages of her life, and that she had gone to speak to her sister-in-law and had asked her the question, are you ready to die? But this had somehow triggered some thoughts in her, and on Monday morning, for about 10 minutes, she was sitting there saying to me, I'm now at a stage where I'm actually saying, am I in the right place? And I think this is the question that we need to ask ourselves, because this is that goal. What is my goal? What is my purpose? And she said to me, I'm not sure if I'm doing what I should be doing. I'm convinced I should be doing something else. I think I've said it before in the previous church that I was in. I remember Reverend Shaw saying to me one day, that he had been counseling a person in town. I'm not sure who it was. He obviously, it's confidential, etc. But he had been going through a session of counselings, and that this person is a very prominent businessman. And yet this person with all the worldly things in his possession sat before Reverend Shaw and said to him, my life is empty. My life is empty. I, with all the stuff, I've got all the money in the world. My life is empty. So my friends, the question that I ask under point four is, who is my goal? My goal is to gather on earth and in the world? Or should I be setting my resting place with my Heavenly Father? And then point number five, the last point, is a good finish. I actually termed it a good finish. And very briefly again, if I can turn to Timothy. In Timothy we read, Timothy 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. And this is the promise. This is the glorious promise and that promise of hope that our Heavenly Father gives us. So I cannot just switch him on and off as a light. It's a journey that I follow, a relationship that I have with my Heavenly Father. And that good fight, yes, this world is riddled with sin. This world, we know that. We know that Satan is walking around like a roaring lion. He wants us. He wants us. And we have that fight between good and evil. But the promise and the prize by finishing that race, by keeping the faith, as we read here in 2 Timothy, in store for me is the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And that is why, my friends, this gift that God promises us, that he gives us, that we follow this journey, that it is not simply this 100-meter dash that I'm going to do. The question that it's going to be asked, or questions that will be asked: how have I lived my life? Have I fought the good fight? How have I lived my life? How have I served God? Have I served him with faith, with obedience, with love? How strong is my love and my faith for God? What fruit did I bear in my life? And that righteous living, that holy living according to the word of God, and that eternal life with God. And as we read in Revelation 21, and it was, a topic of one of my sermons previously, does my name appear in the Lamb's Book of Life? When Jesus Christ comes, does my name appear in his Book of Life? So my friends, in closing, as we've read in Deuteronomy, as we've read in Romans, the message that is set for us is, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. And we read there, now choose life. In Deuteronomy 30, verses 20, love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. Let the Holy Spirit guide us. The choice we have to make, as we've heard and read, is the choice between life and death. And it is not difficult. We've read it in our readings this morning as well. We make it difficult. I make that choice difficult because I still so much want part of this world. I still want so much part of this world, but I also want God on my side. But in reality, the choice is not difficult. So my friends, I end off by saying, let us go out there, let us choose life and not death. Amen. Come, let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning and we thank you for this word. We thank you, Christ, for what you have done for us. Your suffering under Pilate, your suffering on the cross for us, dying on the cross so that we, hell-deserving sinners, may be saved. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray and ask that as we leave here this morning, that you will be with each and every one of us. Father, that we will have taken your word to heart, and that we will go out here, dear Lord Jesus, and that we will choose life. We will choose you. We will choose the gift and the promise that you give us, the promise of eternal life in heaven, not a life of destruction and hell in hell. Dear Lord Jesus, I also pray and ask that you'll be with each and every one of us. Oh, Heavenly Father, you know each and every one of us. You know what may be troubling us. You know what aches and pains we may be going through, whether they be physical pain, whether they be emotional pain. And dear Lord Jesus, we pray and ask that you will keep your hand of comfort over each and every one of us. Dear Lord Jesus, that you will give us that inner peace, that contentment with life. Content in the knowledge, the hope, and the love that you have for us. I pray and ask that you'll be with this church, that you'll be the minister of this church, with Reverend Cocky, that you'll be with the leaders of this church, that you'll be with the Sunday school teachers, the congregation, the Sunday school children of this church, that you'll be with each and every one of us, that we will face the challenges that Satan is throwing at us, knowing that you, our Heavenly Father, are with us. So I pray and ask for each and every one that you'll lead and guide us and be with us, that you'll be with this country, Father, with the leadership of this country. Heavenly Father, that in many ways we are turning away from you. In many of the things we do are not godly things. I pray and ask that you'll be with each and every one of us, that you'll strengthen us and guide us. And I pray this in your glorious and holy name. Amen.